This week on The Book Drop, it's our longest episode ever as Michelle, Anna, David, Ellie, and myself get ready to pass on our hosting mics. We test out our own TBD knowledge, share some of our favorite memories, and get in a few last book recommendations. This is The Book Drop. Hello, and welcome to The Book Drop, Omaha Public Library's podcast about books, our community, and the joy of reading. I'm Erin Dewar. I'm a librarian, and I'm at our Library Administration Building.
Hi, I'm Michelle Carlson, a librarian, and I work at the W. Clark Swanson branch.
Hello, this is Anna Wilcoxon. I am a librarian downtown.
Hi, it's Ellie Roberts. I am a librarian also at our Library Administrative Branch.
Hello, my name is David Dick. I am a library specialist at the Benson branch.
You guys, the band is back together.
It's so amazing. It makes me so happy to see all of your faces on our little screen.
Five boxes again.
Wow. Packed house.
We haven't all been on the same one since what, the 100th episode?
I think we're going to maybe talk about that. Yeah. So listeners, if you've been following along, we are signing off as hosts for this podcast. This is our final episode, but it is also our 4-year anniversary. So we started this podcast. We recorded the first episode in the second week of April in 2020 during the beginning of the pandemic. And, it is exactly 4 years later to the week, which I just kind of think is amazing. So this is both a goodbye. It's a little sad. Someone is like definitely going to cry. But also we are here to celebrate like the first 4 years of this podcast, this team, and kind of all the good things that and, you know, books and things that have happened on, you know, 4 years of podcast episodes. So hang with us while we both laugh and cry for the next hour or so. Michelle, what is coming up at the library?
All right. So excited to say that Stories After Dark is coming back on the first Friday of May, so May 3rd, from 7 to 8:30 at the Benson branch. This will be a fun and loose, slightly competitive storytelling event for adults. The ground rules are for the stories that they must be based on real life. Stories should run about 5 to 8 minutes. Visual aids and artifacts are encouraged. And the theme for this story slam is hot mess. So storytellers are encouraged to sign up ahead of time. So go to the website in the event for the link to sign up there. And David will be there, and I have the pleasure of emceeing this event. So come check it out.
And because I like to do it for fun, I am making the trophies. Just to give you a hint, because the theme is hot mess, they are dumpster fire themed.
Oh my
so
God.
We do these for the Halloween ones too, which I really like. And I'm hoping that these live up to the Halloween trophies. But anyway, I'm having fun making tiny dumpsters and trash cans.
The decorations will also be dumpster fire themed. I'm not going to say any more. You're going to have to come and see what unhinged nonsense we throw together for this.
Can't wait.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Beautiful. So to kind of lean us into the theme of today's episode, we are going to do some extremely self-indulgent nostalgia. And the way that I have set that up for us is going to be a little bit of book drop trivia. Is everyone feeling like they remember the past 4 years of our lives like really well?
No.
I'm going to make a prediction that I think David has the best recall and he listened to a bunch of episodes running up to this. And then I don't know about Michelle. Anna's definitely a no.
It's true. It's so true.
And I've just had to listen to episodes more than most of you guys because of editing. Right. So it's possible that I have a slight edge, but I actually think David probably has the edge here.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised, but also, you know, we'll see. Okay, so let's get right into it. I think that this question reflects kind of like really how far we've come in a way that like hurts my head to think about. And Michelle can't answer it. So there are some things that like people are locked out from answering. So sorry, Michelle, because it's about you. So you probably remember it pretty well.
Okay.
What was Michelle's last episode before maternity leave?
Oh, we should also reframe that. What episode was Michelle actually like in labor in while recording?
My water maybe just broke.
I think.
And guess what? A baby came really soon.
Same day.
I'm pretty sure. I think I know.
Go, so David, because I don't know.
The drama episode.
What number?
Yep. Episode 5.
That's drama, right?
Yep.
Okay.
That's the one. Which I was just like, how incredible that like our first drama episode, like the most dramatic thing. Starts out.
The irony's never been lost on me.
It's incredible.
Like, not to like too much information for people, but like you can hear Michelle's kind of out of breath. Like,
I was recalling that story to someone. I was like, yeah, learned later that I was technically in labor while recording that episode. I just didn't really know. And they're like, wow, that's really dedication. I was like, yeah, I woke up and I was like, I think I'm. Again, TMI, potentially leaking water, but I have to record this episode. It's my lifeline to the outside world right now. Because again, May 2020, a very desolate world in some ways.
Incredible. Yeah. Okay, I don't know if anyone will have this. Maybe Michelle, you will, so you can answer it. This is kind of the bonus for this one. What was Michelle's first episode back?
Oh,
I do know that one.
Yeah.
That's also because I had been looking back at stuff. I don't remember the number, but it was nonfiction. Because I remember I had been reading a lot of biographies while out. And so that was like, I was like, oh, this will be a perfect comeback into let's talk nonfiction.
Okay. This one's.
I don't know what it was.
Was it like 11?
What was it called?
Okay.
I think that was one that was just called nonfiction, or
so I believe that you're right. For some reason, I have episode 15 literary world news. So our note keeping early on was a little less strict than it is now. So I wouldn't be surprised if some of these early ones were like, is that the number? But I thought 15 might make sense because it's like maybe the right amount of time, but also you're right about it.
I unfortunately only had 8 weeks, so.
Oh, wait. Nonfiction for Everyone was number 14, but Michelle's not on that one. Oh, no, you are in that one. You did come back for that one.
Okay. Yeah.
Pretty sure.
14. Okay.
But you're right. Man, our notes are shaky in the
so
beginning.
Didn't know what we were
now
doing.
They're rainbow colored. They're so bright and organized.
Yeah. I remember one time I was going to an old episode to see if I could rip off a book talk for another book talk later. That was for something not on the podcast. I was like, oh, these notes aren't thorough enough for me to get anything out of it. Might as well start over.
We didn't put anything in there. Totally.
Okay, you ready for the next one? Okay, Brett.
Okay,
this one I want to take David and I think Aaron out of the running for, because I think Aaron just like edits too much for this to be fair. So this one's Anna and Michelle.
What
is David's band who supplies the music for our intro and outro music's name?
Oh, isn't it Lucid Fugue? Right? I got one.
Anna, you got one. Thank you.
Really, clearly on my game.
Huge. Anna's on the board. Okay, let's swing into this next one. I have a lot of questions for us, and I think there's some good ones. Okay, so this one I can't answer. Bummer. Does anybody remember what the theme of my last scheduled episode as a host was?
Ooh.
It's
was
like
it a fish
oddly
one?
Right.
Or the water one?
Oh.
That's right.
Because it was before that summer reading theme or summer and stuff.
Yeah, SRP.
Was it the water?
Yeah, it was water and travel because I took the summer off because I was going to be doing summer programming at one of our busy branches. And then I moved to outreach at the same time. So I just kind of like unintentionally fully disappeared for like a hot minute. But then you guys brought me back for something that we'll get into later. Okay, this one I'm really excited for. Anna, you can't answer it. I know you're bummed about that. What was the first e-audiobook that Anna checked out according to, I believe, our first episode?
Black Leopard. What is that book?
Ooh. You're so close. Keep going.
Leopards and Wolves.
Black and Red. One is black and one is red. Yeah. Marlon James. I know it's
great. Marlon James. You got the author. Sure. That's huge. Huge. Yeah. Anna, do you remember?
Isn't it like Black Leopard, Red Wolf? Is that
that's,
it? Right?
That's the one.
Yeah. I'm so honored you guys remembered my intro.
It's such a big deal.
Yeah.
It's
amazing.
Earth-shaking. Yes.
Listen, everybody, we all remember our first. Isn't that what Alexis Coe's book's name is?
Yeah, George Washington book. Yeah.
Uh-huh. The George Washington of Anna's ebook checkouts. okay, Michelle, you can't do this one. What was the first episode, theme where McKinnon's Corner was introduced?
Oh my gosh.
It's easier than you think.
Was it when we specifically did kids' books? Mm-hmm. Like a reading channel? Nope. Okay. Maybe I don't know anything about this podcast, you guys.
I was mainly listening to clips of season two. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, if I can – or oh, did Anna, did you want to take a guess?
I have no idea.
My guess is it was with the spooky season episode.
No.
No.
We'll lose. It was a what we're reading episode.
That makes sense.
Yes. Yeah.
Yep.
Of course, that's why I started.
That's okay. You guys have done remarkably well, so. okay. Kind of related, David, don't talk. You don't get to answer for a minute. So we're out here in the wilderness without him. Does anybody remember what David's last episode as a regular host was?
Oh, as a regular.
Again, a little easier than you think.
I do. I remember.
What you got?
It was our year in reading for the end of 2022.
Because it was at the end. Okay.
Yeah, because you were able to finish out that season because when you transferred to Benson, it was towards the end of the year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice.
That is a bit of a trick question. David, do you remember why it's a trick question?
Because since I was already at Benson, I was kind of a guest.
I know.
Aaron?
Because of furlough.
Yep.
Thinking, what was David's last episode before part-time staff were not working during the pandemic? Right. Do you know the answer to that one, Allie?
I got it.
Is it the fantasy?
Uh-huh. It's Witches and Sirens and Pufferfish Oh My.
Nice. Good job.
I got one. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I was going through and I was like, oh my, that's right. that entire summer happened. So, that's a sad little facet of our history, but also, we've been through some stuff together. Okay.
Yeah.
We have, yeah.
Is it one of your questions? But what's the episode then that David came back after furlough?
Oh, I don't have it. David, do you know?
Do you know, David?
I think it wasn't Korean Wave, although that was when I was shortly back. I think it was... Maybe it was a book by an LGBT author. Mm.
That would make sense timeline-wise.
One of those two. But I think it was LGBT author because I think Korean Wave was my second one back.
Thank goodness you were back for those two.
Yeah.
Okay. This is a funny one. What was the first episode where Buffy was mentioned?
Whew. Oh my gosh. It was early on, right? It has to be early on.
Maybe like yeah. the first one.
It was the first episode.
Was it?
We were all deep in buffering at that point. I mean, yeah. like Ellie and I were like mm-hmm. really into that podcast at that time. Mm-hmm. And
it was, yeah. and then it was 2020, it right like after. A good time. Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Beautiful. We didn't make it a single episode in. No. Without being like, anybody? Buffy the Vampire Slayer? Anybody? okay, just a couple more. What was our first genre or subject episode about? Like our first themed episode?
Dystopian fiction.
Apocalypse mm-hmm. fiction, but yeah, okay. yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was like.
Because we were in the beginning of a pandemic and it was very apt.
That was like two yeah. or three, wasn't it?
Yeah. yeah. It was really yeah. early. It was really early. Mm-hmm.
I think it was three because we did like. Welcome to us doing this. And then we did like a this is how we read now kind of like yeah. here's how to get books when the library isn't even doing curbside or anything. Yeah. And then apocalypse fiction, which I feel like we specifically did because everybody wanted to read that Stephen King book.
Oh, yeah.
We did. Yeah. The Stand.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, there are other books where the world ends. So here you go. okay, how many weeks into OBL's COVID closure did we launch the pod?
It was closed for how many
weeks? Like four. It was published?
Three or four, I want to say.
Yeah, like really early. Like we got it off the ground. This team basically were the ones that volunteered to do a podcast. And then I think it took like a week or two after that to get it off the ground.
David, incredible.
Well, I just remember, so I, like, library closed March 10th or 15th. It was a Sunday.
Yeah.
And then we recorded the first episode. I only know this because I have been doing research for this, was that April 10th, I think, mm-hmm. or something. Mm-hmm. And then it probably didn't publish, actually, till a little bit later, but 4 weeks.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Incredible. Cool. Can you imagine getting
no
like getting a project activated and like off the ground in 4 weeks now?
Because the thing, I mean, and it's even tighter than that, right? Because the thing mm-hmm. that we have talked about like before is that we went from idea to recording that first episode in like 10 days. And mm-hmm. I dream of being wild. That like fast and innovative mm-hmm. in right. our work now.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Wild. Okay. Who was our first interview?
Cassandra.
That's yeah, what I
Cassandra
say.
Montag. Yeah.
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 That was for the Omaha Reads. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I won't say best, but I will say, like, geez, what an interview.
Yeah. It was great.
Yeah. She was great. Yeah. I really liked that conversation. And, like, it was to do an interview with like five of us on there could have been uh-huh. bad and awful. And I actually think it's a really good conversation. I think mm-hmm. we did it okay. So
our first one and we didn't embarrass ourselves.
Yeah.
With a professional like published author. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And like what a gracious person with all of us like figuring out all of our tech and incredible. Okay, this is also a tricky one, and I should lock Aaron out of this one, but also I feel like, Aaron, you're the only one who has a chance of knowing.
Give everybody else a chance first.
What was the first romance Aaron book talked on the show?
Oh, I don't even know that.
Yeah, it's tricky, but I was, like, trying to look at overarching themes, and I was like...
Yeah.
Aaron, was it a Jasmine?
Oh, book? Yeah, like a that sounds so. Right. Like the wedding date, maybe, or the proposal. The proposal.
I think it
all makes sense. Yeah. However, this is wild. The first actual book talk that I could find was Something to Talk About by Meryl Wilsner. Which is like a slow burn queer romance, just like. Surprised me as Aaron's first book talk of a romance.
I must have been holding back.
Exactly. So that was on episode 23, or I don't know if I can count summer book preview or just book previews, but you did talk about Crazy Stupid Bromance, which felt like very early Aaron romance situation. Okay, so these last two, I think Aaron has the answers to. What was the last episode we were all together?
The 100th episode. It was a live show and it was in the middle of July.
Dang, David, your brain is something else. Jealous. I remember nothing.
That's like 60 episodes ago, 58 episodes ago. That's crazy. It's like
a season and a half.
A lifetime.
And our last one, Aaron, you got the number for this one? Okay. Aaron will have the number for us. How many live episodes did we attempt?
I love the attempt.
For five.
Yeah, same, Anna. I was going to say five. I was like, there were like three book clubs that we tried to do, the happy hour and the 100th.
Yeah, there's happy hour, 100th, and then I think at least two book clubs. So I'm going to say four.
Actually, I don't know if I have the answer to this, Ellie.
We'll never know.
That's okay. We'll just be a mutual cliffhanger for the rest of our lives.
Four or five.
That's the answer.
It's pretty close to that. And also, like, how far does an attempt, like, how far do you have to get in the attempt of, like, doing? There's definitely one that got canceled, right? Like,
happy hour, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man, I failed us on our last question. I'm sorry.
I'm not worried about it. Listen, we all have to live with uncertainty.
Yeah. Just like in April 2020.
Thank you, Ellie. That was a lot of fun.
That was great. Thank you.
I always love a quiz, and a homemade one is even better. Okay. So if you have not been with us since the beginning and you didn't catch up from just that conversation, so we started this podcast in the early pandemic, and our first episode that we talked about was just how the pandemic was affecting our reading and like how we were only a couple weeks into that time. So I just wanted to kind of circle back to that conversation, maybe kind of quickly. And because at the time we talked about like, how is this affecting your reading? Are you like, is it up? Is it down? Are you reading certain genres? So I'm curious, over the last 4 years of either just being in the library, working on the show, all of that, do you think your reading habits have changed? And if so, how? Anna?
I read a lot more.
Yeah.
I was looking back. So I've been using Goodreads for a long time, or not, I guess, since 2015. So I was looking at my old stats. And between 2015 and 2019, I was reading like 30 to 50 books a year, which is, you know, not terrible. It's pretty like, I guess I was going to say it was pretty normal, but it's actually probably still more than normal for the average person. But then this happened, the pandemic happened. So I think that combination, for which I am like, I'm not grateful that pandemic happened, but I'm grateful that it brought me back to reading and that it made this beautiful experiment happen over the last several years. In 2020, I read 73 books. And then since then, I've been hitting like at least 100 books a year after that. And I want to keep doing that. It just, and not because I don't, well, just there are too many effing books, to quote Michelle. I mean, there's so many books that are already in existence that I want to read. And, you know, there are always more that are coming. So I just want to read as much as I can. So I really credit this with like, just reinvigorating my love of reading. Like I've been a reader since I was like a child. You know, I'd go home with as many library books as I could carry when I was a little kid. And I read a lot more broadly now. And that's to the credit of you guys, I think, really. I still, you know, I'm drawn to a lot of the same things as I was before. And I'm still like, I did dabble into ebooks, but I still am very much like a print book girl. That's always my preferred method. And I think it always will be, but it's, you know, like I'm more open to like other formats than I'd say I was before. And also just, I know so much more now about different genres, about authors' books, about the publishing industry. And I just, it's been a really joyful, enlightening experience to get back into books in a really deep way, and then to do so in a way that is much like more expansive than it was before. So, I'm really grateful for that.
That's beautiful, Anna.
Yeah. 2020 itself, when I was looking back at my reading stats, was actually a dip for me in the total number of books I read, which I think was just like the generalized despair of the beginning of the pandemic and not being able to concentrate on reading at first. I maybe even talk about that in like some of those early episodes about how I wasn't reading as much. And then like every year since then, though, it just like shot up quite a bit. Like before the pandemic, I was reading around 80 books. Now it's around 100. So yeah, about a 20 book bump. And yeah, this, I feel like I, like this podcast got me reading a lot more, and it didn't really slow momentum when I got off the podcast. Although what I'm reading is changing a little bit, and that I no longer kind of adjust what I'm reading to, okay, can I promote this to the podcast on the podcast? And so it's gotten like weirder and more unhinged, which is great right now because there's a lot of great like extreme horror and splatterpunk coming out, especially by queer authors. So this is a good time for me just to dive headfirst into weird indie novellas that are graphically violent. So it's kind of where I'm sitting right now.
That's our David.
Yeah.
Cool.
For David, the future is so gory, he has to wear safety glasses.
Oh, beautiful. Love that.
Yes.
Pin it. So for me, I definitely also went back through my story graph, and like I love numbers, and I was like, oh, look at this. Like, it just started writing them all down. And one thing that I noticed that was also significant for me was when I was not working at the library, I was not really reading. I mean, again, it more than your average, because I'm, you know, still naturally a reader. So I was in like that 20 to 30 range. But it was when I came back and started working for the library again that it bumped up into the 40s. And then with the podcast, 70s, and then up to the 100s. But I will say, even within the past few weeks that we learned that book talking was not going to be one of my job priorities anymore. I am only finishing one book a week, which again is like, that's still quite a bit for your average person. But for me, that's incredibly slow paced. And so I just think that's interesting. So I did bump my goal from 100 to 75 for this year, just in case. Even though I know we talk about number goals not needing to be like, you know, it's okay if we don't do it, but you know, just I don't want to see you're 7 books behind every time I log into StoryGraph, so it's a little aggressive.
But I am proud of you for being gentle in adjusting your goals,
like, right? Yes, thank you. Thank
acknowledging you. Yeah. The reality,
and I'm also really trying to lean into some more print that I now that I also feel like I can slow down in my reading and that type of thing. So we'll see if my percentages go from like 80-20 to something else by the end of the year. But otherwise, I've been reading a lot more audio still. It's hard to say if that's because of the volume I've been wanting to read at, or also just because of being a parent of a young child. So time-wise and stuff, audio really is just the ability I need, or accessibility that I need. And I will, like Anna said, I'm just so grateful for learning how to book talk from you all, finding the confidence to read different things. I was thinking back when you mentioned about Aaron talking about romance, and I was like, I never really read romance before this podcast. And I don't want to say I was a judgy person about people that read romance, because again, my ethics of a librarian, every book their reader type of thing. But I did think like, that's probably not for me. But I think it was like Aaron talking about it and then listening to other people like on our Slack channel and connecting with other readers that read romance. I was like, well, let me just give it a try. And I was like, oh, I could really get into this. And I did. And same with some of the other genres and stuff. I read a couple books about cannibalism, David. I did it. Don't want to go back, but I did it. And so, you know, and I hope that's what this has done for our listeners also, just giving them different things like, I could read that. Like, you know, it's not weird and or anything like that. There's no stigma that I need to feel attached to when it comes to what I read. So, yeah, I'm going to just keep reading.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. I don't know. It sounds like you just like got more curious about romance, like as people kind of made it a little more accessible to you.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way to say phrase that. Yeah. Still love my thrillers, though, friends.
Thriller queen.
Thriller queen. That's my crown. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like this past year, too, I've been delving back into things that I wasn't reading as much at the time the pandemic started, too, though. So it's like sometimes you just got to get back to your root. And for me, that right now is getting back into like epic fantasy and stuff, too. So it's, you know, like we have like what we love for a reason. So we always want to circle back to it even after we're curious, after we experiment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Speaking of, I have huge news. I'm rereading something.
Whoa! What is it? What are you rereading?
Well, let me tell you, I am going way back. I found out that my friend and I, even though we did not grow up together, grew up in different states, had the same like author that we ran towards at the Scholastic Book Fair. And that author was Tamora Pierce, who's written like the most fantasy books for like tween-ish girls. Mm-hmm. They're all like Renaissance setting. They're the kind of thing that like, if I see it branded for an adult, I'm like, that's not for me. And it's not for like a person who Venn diagrams me. It's for like, and God bless them. I'm so glad that people have the books that they want, but it's simply not mine. Anyway, I've been re-listening to my favorite of her series. Our brilliant collection development team, that's our purchasers, somehow still have the audiobooks that are from like 2003. So just like a brief moment to shout out the team that like actually brings you all of the content for this podcast, which is our collection development folks. Without them buying us books, we wouldn't have anything to talk to y'all about. So yeah, I'm rereading. I'm doing it as like a way to connect with a friend and also just like a really fun nostalgia audiobook thing. Really great for washing dishes. But that's kind of where I'm at with my reading right now is really like reading to connect. So I'm in a book club, which I've never like successfully done for a long time, but we've been meeting for a little over a year now. We, you guys will love this. We only read short books.
That's amazing.
We look
Are you
up,
the founder of this right, book club?
Like sort of. It's a really small book club, which I do think is kind of like the reason for our success. It's literally four people. We have like considered adding a fifth and people are like, that's really exclusive. And I'm like, yeah, but also we all talk about the book, you know, for me, I like that it's that small. Really flexible. And we all, okay. Yes, I prioritize reading short books, but all of these people have young kids. So they're like, yeah, of course it's only short books. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's our thematic ethos. I'm definitely reading less than I was when I was podding. I think that's a transition that you guys gotta ready yourselves a little bit for. But what I read has definitely changed because of the podcast. First off, I don't feel bad about not reading Doorstoppers anymore. I feel good about not reading Doorstoppers. let's see. What else is going on for me? I read some romance now. I could never hold a candle to Aaron's Turnover, but I'm glad that world has opened up for me because, you know, romances are a little easier to like slam in a day than literary fiction is. And sometimes I just want to like read a book cover to cover in 24 hours. Yeah, I'm definitely better at figuring out what I will like, and figuring out what's like a possibility for me to like, you know. So I'm just really grateful to the podcast for setting aside time to really devote to talking about reading with people, mm-hmm. because I think that's how I benefited from it. And I think that's what our listeners like too, is just being honest about our reading habits, treating it like a serious hobby. You know, like when I go see movies, I'm always talking about them with my friends. And I don't think we do the same with books as much. We talk about like the act of reading, but, you know, there's only a couple friends that I'm really trading book recommendations with. And I think that the biggest thing that I've learned is just that if you don't prioritize it, it doesn't happen. And this has been a lovely way to prioritize it and also to just like respect our hobby and respect what we really love, and treat it with the time and celebration that I think that it deserves. So that's my little emotional bit about the podcast.
Yeah, that's lovely.
It is lovely. And I love what you said about keeping reading a hobby. And like I was just mentioning with our number goals or any other reading goals you have, like here's my other catchphrase. As seen on TikTok, people talk about hobbies and like that we've kind of lost hobbies as hobbies, that everybody thinks that when you do it, you have to be the best at it. Like when you're drawing or painting, especially in the arts type of hobbies, but even in music and all that type of stuff, that it's like you can just do it to have fun with it. You don't have to be good at it. So again, reading, you don't have to be crunching a bunch of numbers or reading doorstoppers or anything like that. Like it is what you want it to be and how it fulfills you. So thank you, Ellie, for reminding us that it's a hobby and a fun hobby.
I'll also say for Ellie that we've been having some nice emails come in from listeners, and one of them mentioned about being given permission to set a page limit for their reading, and that they didn't – I don't know if they said Ellie specifically, but we all know that that is about Ellie being like, I'm literally not going to read it if it's over, I don't know, 250 or whatever. So you are changing lives, friend.
Me and my TLDR approach to literacy.
Yeah.
Listen, I tried with an audiobook again, but it was just like, it's an epic family story. And I was like, this sounds beautiful. I'm sure I would love it as a movie. I've been listening to it for 8 hours and it's not anywhere close to like, the plot has really just started. Yeah. Like I can't do it.
For me, obviously, numbers have changed too. If we look back before the pod, I don't know, it was like 40, 50, 65 books a year or whatever. And then even in 2020, it was reading about, I read about 60 books that year. And then I also had like a double whammy of like, we're going through a pandemic, I lost a parent. So yeah, like my 2021 was not a great year. But in 2022, 23, like I doubled my reading from 2022 to 2023. And I guarantee that won't happen again. And I, like Michelle, I feel like I've already started to slow down a little bit. Like we're in a moment of transition of stuff. And so I've been reading stuff a little bit slower. I'm also in the middle of the second book in the Three Body Problem, which is quite long. And the audiobook I have on a platform that I cannot speed up. So I have to listen to it at the normal speed. And it's like driving me crazy. I think my biggest changes besides like numbers is that probably because of Michelle, I listen to a ton more audiobooks. I, at many points, am reading like more, doing more audio than non-audio. And also just because I can read a higher volume of books by doing audio, I can like knock out a couple books in a weekend and that feels really nice. And it's like things I can do during my other hobbies. I do them at the same time. Like you guys, I said, I feel like I came into my own as a romance reader, and I think it's nice being able to like share that on the podcast, that like, oh, I'm going to say this out loud, right? And like share that with other people. So I like getting to do that. But I don't know if, besides like going down spirals of like really getting into romance, I had a whole witch year where I read like a lot of witch books. But I think I've always done that in my life. But I don't know if the pod like adds to that or what, but it definitely also like gives me a little space to do that. So, mm-hmm. And I feel good about it. So those are my changes, I think.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to talk about some of your favorite podcast memories?
Uh-huh. Do I ever?
Yeah. So I pulled a few clips. So I think we should just go around and say maybe our top ones that we want to talk about. And if I have a clip for you, I will tell you that I have a clip for you. And if not, we'll do a little tiny clip show at the end of this. Michelle, do you want to start?
One of my favorite memories was during back when we were, you know, our different planning sessions, and Aaron was like, yeah, if you have an idea, you can kind of create a mini episode or something. And so in the fall of 2021, the internet sensation of the day was Noodle, this adorable little pug that would wake up and we would see if they had bones or no bones. And if it's a bones day, like if he's all stiff, ready to go, we're ready to go. And if there's no bones, then it's like, we are chilling today. And so I messaged Ellie and I was like, I would love to do an episode like this. And I think like as a fellow, like, I mean, we're all dog lovers, but like, I was like, I feel like this is a vibe for you too. Like, would you want to do it with me? And she said, yes. And so we had a cute little time talking about books for your bones and your no bones days. And so that was a fun mem for me.
Absolutely. Yeah. Today, bones or no bones?
Partially bones. There's bones or there's no bones.
A little wobbly.
Yeah. I'm not firmly in either camp. Maybe.
Listen.
Does that mean no bones?
I think I meant no bones.
You're not sure about bones. And
that's okay. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Today's an emotional day, you guys. It's true. There's so much happening for us.
Yeah. I would say one of my other like favorite theme episodes that we did was when we were like teaching each other about different things. So like from that amazing drama episode where we were talking about all this like different things in the literary world and stuff, like learning about the New York Times, like personally for me was so fun, like doing the research and stuff on that type of stuff. And same with all of our news episodes, and like the library history episode was really fun. And then my other personal favorites are when we did our literary horoscopes and book recs for your Enneagram type. So 63 and 121, respectively, if you want to go look for them. And then we had also talked about like the live episodes. And to me, I just like when I look back on what an interesting feat it was every time we tried a live episode. Like, I don't remember which one it was, but I think it was our first one that my computer wasn't working. I couldn't log in at all. And then I was sick and my voice sounded terrible. And so I ended up like using my phone, I think, to like call in, because I think we were even still using Zoom at the time. And it was just like, what are we doing here?
For the live episodes, I think the only person that maybe I remember attending is David's partner. So I just want to shout out to Winter. Yeah. Thank you, Winter, for being the one person to attend any of our live episodes. Yeah. Much appreciated.
I did just listen to that parts of that episode, Michelle, and you get on and you're like, hey, it's Michelle. My computer's not working, or is my voice? And like, it's very like craggy. But you were there. You were doing it.
Yeah.
Amazing. I do have one clip from something you mentioned, and it is part of the drama episode. And I pulled this one specifically because it has one of my favorite phrases that Ellie said. So do you guys want to hear it? Ellie, you read a letter in the drama episode, and so this is that letter. I'm trying to remember. I was going to set this up, but I can't remember this person's name. You might set it up in the clip. Let's just listen to it.
To end on a much better note, I'm going to read y'all something that has my favorite quote from Ursula Nordstrom in it. So she wrote, "Did I ever tell you that several years ago, after the Harper management saw that I could publish children's books successfully, I was taken out to luncheon and offered, with a great ceremony, the opportunity to be an editor in the adult department? The implication, of course, was that since I had learned to publish books for children with considerable success, perhaps I was now ready to move along or up to the adult field. I almost pushed the luncheon table into the lap of the pompous gentleman opposite me and then explained kindly that publishing children's books was what I did, that I couldn't possibly be interested in books for dead, dull, finished adults, and thank you very much, but I had to get back to my desk to publish some more good books for bad children."
That's amazing. Yeah.
such a mic drop of a statement. Yeah. From this like children's book publisher in like what was probably 1955.
Amazing. I still love dead, dull, finished adult. Mm-hmm. And what is it, good books for bad children.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, incredible. Ursula Nordstrom, one day I'll get a cool literary tattoo of you. You the best. Miss you, girl. I did. That was like my top podcast memory, I think, was talking about the Anne Carol Moore Ursula Nordstrom rivalry. I literally like did a presentation for another group and talked about it again. more research keeps coming out. Just know that, like, when I'm 100 years old, I will still be thinking of those two women.
I think that was one of the examples. I think we do it in that episode. There's some others where I just feel like I love it when we get, like, sassy, old-timey librarian types. Like, it's like, one of my favorite things to discover. Mm-hmm. David, you got any memories?
Oh, boy, yeah. So one of my all-time favorite episodes that we ever did was we did an episode season two. Like, I found out, like, a lot of my favorite memories are, like, from that season two era when I feel like we were really hitting our stride. But we just had this great discussion about UFOs where we all said really smart things, Annaletta, and it was just an amazing, fun little conversation overall. Another one that I really loved was when we were talking about comic books in episode 60, when we reenacted the Senate hearings for like the obscenity trial for a comic book publisher, and we're talking about like severed heads and all that, and how much of it was appropriate. All-time favorite was episode 61 when it was a book preview and Ellie was promoting Night Bitch, and we all decided to sing the title to Night Bitch in different ways because it's called Night Bitch.
I have this clip if we would like to hear it.
Great.
Let's do it.
Yes.
Okay. Roll the clip, Aaron.
Listeners, we've already done this on this podcast, but just know that we will be saying Night Bitch multiple times in this clip.
So in terms of books that we feel were written literally for us, you know, David's got My Heart is a Chainsaw and I've got Night Bitch by Rachel Yoder.
I just got to say the name Night Bitch, it makes me think of, you know, like an 80s glam metal band. Like, just want to say it, Night Bitch!
It's perfect.
Now imagine I was wearing like a leopard print unitard when I said that.
That is almost exactly how I've heard it in my head, David, every time I've thought Night Bitch. It's that like rocker singing, that or it's to the like Night Cheese song.
Working on my night, bitch. It's like that,
yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, my personal song is Night Bitch. I appreciate that we all have different things to bring to the table.
I want you guys to know that, like, while I was pulling clips, I was, like, at my desk, like, trying not to laugh out loud because it was so good. That one is still really good. So good.
Yeah. Also, timely, the announcement came out that the movie adaptation is coming out in December. I will be seated if – Rachel Yoder doesn't reach out to me as her number one stan to, I don't know, meet Amy Adams on the red carpet, then what's this all been about?
Yeah, yeah.
We wrote, I will say, I finally read it. Was it this year or at the end of last year?
We had the soundtrack prepared. Yeah.
David, do you have any other memories you want to talk about?
Our episode 48 about books that made us laugh. I really liked our query of the week of that because we just told awful jokes, just like bad, cheesy jokes. And then we had a bunch of listener responses too. But they were all great. And it's just like, if you want to listen to just any moment of our dynamics playing off of each other, you can't go wrong with episode 48 as a whole, but especially like the last five or so minutes. Then I liked episode 51 quite a bit. That was one where we were talking about unusual libraries or library collections. And Anna was talking about like this military vehicle. It was like a crowd-controlled tank type of thing that got turned into a bookmobile.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it was just really cool. And I started getting poetic about it and making I made a biblical reference about beating swords into plowshares and all that. And then Ellie was like, "It's the Ding Ding Man for books."
I learned just a fun moment. What the Ding Ding Man is because I didn't know, and I was you guys are weird.
And the next like 5 or 10 minutes just becomes us talking about the Ding Ding Man and what it means, just like how specific to Omaha it is. Mm-hmm. And then I really just loved episode 97, which was our book soundtracking one. That was the one where I was most on my bullshit, I think, just because it gave me an excuse to talk about the four kinds of music I like, that I talked about. I talked about a space rock band. I talked about a punk band. I talked about a goth band. And I talked about just like a really spooky and abrasive electronic band, which they described their music as burbling. And Michelle's response to that was, "Did you just describe a song as burbling?" It's just just an all-time classic moment, in my opinion.
Amazing.
Wait, real quick, I just want to sneak in here and say that not only was the discussion about UFOs good, but I remember when we were planning that episode, like our planning meetings are just like, okay, what should we do? Anybody got ideas? And Anna came in and she was like, "UFOs. I think we should talk about UFOs." And Anna is always just like going with the flow, like whatever we come up with, she will read for the assignment. And she came in that day like, "We are going to get a UFO app on the docket." And it was amazing.
We had to.
Because I think that episode opens with Anna being like, "Y'all, UFOs are real."
Yeah.
The government has said, and they said that UFOs are real. Mm-hmm. They just changed the name, but they're real. So it's great.
The most opinionated I've ever seen Anna was.
It was an amazing episode. It was just the whole episode is great. That discussion at the beginning was the highlight, but just the whole episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of my faves as well. And also, like David mentioned, the book soundtracking was also really fun. Mm-hmm. These are just like parts of episodes, but anytime we talked about Nora Roberts, mm-hmm. it made me really happy.
Queen.
Yeah. I noted that it was episodes 42 and 104. I think one was like about library drama because I don't remember what she was salty about all the things, but I just was like, I think Ellie, you were the one that brought Nora up first in the pod, and it was always really fun to like get to know that side of Nora Roberts. Mm-hmm. I really appreciated the episodes where we kind of delved into areas that I didn't like really think much about before, like what's chick lit or what's a beach read, like those kinds of things. So that's episode 84 and episode 9. These numbers like blow my mind. Uh-huh. I can't believe we made so many of these episodes. Those I really liked. And I also like just like all the book previews that we did, like seasonally, like fall, summer, whenever, winter. I think we did some fall, so I don't, whatever. But just like, we all love talking about books and just the excitement of like what's coming out next. Like just it's super fun to see like what people got. Kind of got you going, you know, like what you're looking forward to. And on a practical note, I really like the reading challenge help desk episode just because I like feeling like, oh, like this is actual like a, you know, as a librarian, I like helping people, mm-hmm. right? We all do. So it just felt nice to be like, this is a very practical way that we can help our listeners if they're doing OPL's reading challenge. So it's also satisfying. But yeah, those are the ones that I could remember.
Amazing.
First, yes.
Mm-hmm. Ellie, did you have any others?
You guys really just like covered all of it.
Okay.
Yeah, I just honestly, my favorite thing was just setting aside time to talk about books with my pals. Mm-hmm. It's that easy. Sitting there giggling about silly book nonsense. I will say I am always very grateful for, I believe it was the Funny Books episode when I got to soapbox about one of my favorite books, Hollow Kingdom, talk about my crow friend shit turd. Still just like a book that, you know, bury me with it. So yeah.
Amazing. Okay. My most vivid memory is something I think that is, I don't remember if we actually included it in the show we bleeped it, but I think it was the first preview episode where Michelle drops an F-bomb. And it was like the first time anybody had cussed during recording, and it just was amazing. And so I would pull funny things or I would pull bloopers, and I was not very organized with them. I would just save them in random places. So in the last week, I've been going back through. But I did find this one because I either pulled it out or something. I saved it specifically. So I'm going to play it unbleeped, but I will have to probably bleep it again for the audience, but just so the team gets the whole effect. Here it is. And I also realized I was misquoting you because I thought you said too many, and you actually don't. You say something slightly different.
Ooh. There are still so many books out there.
I will bleep you. That's amazing.
I had such a hard time narrowing down. I was like,
yeah, you say so many, and I always, in my mind, I made you a button that said too many, but I think I'm going to stick with it, too many.
Yeah. It's
That's the sentiment.
Yeah, there's one of those, like, Nelson Mandela.
Yeah, the Mandela effect?
Yeah, the Mandela effect. Yeah. I don't think it's based off of Nelson Mandela.
No, it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
But what about him?
There are people believe that he died, and I can't believe we're talking about this episode. Yes. It's based off the idea that some people believe or remember Nelson Mandela dying in prison, but in our timeline, at least, he did not.
Yeah.
So that's where it comes from.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
See.
Yeah.
Learn so much the from more you all, know. All the time. Yeah.
I am also weirdly nostalgic for how stressed I got about Song of the Summer. And also Ellie, I feel like burning me for like just saying Taylor Swift most of the time. But also I've been right a couple times because she just keeps dropping old music and then it hits the charts. So I feel a little validated. We've mentioned the drama episodes, always fun. I really like talking about romance books. We had Nicole and our other coworker Amy come on, who are big romance readers, and I really liked talking to them about it. And really just like, I not specific times, but I remember just anytime I would hit the stop record button and then I'd just be like, that was really good, or that was so much fun, right? Or anytime we just started giggling and laughing, like it like fills my cup, right? So all of those times are some of my favorites. Yeah. Unless anybody else has, I have a couple of random clips that I found that I don't know what episodes they came from. I had just randomly saved them on my computer. So I'm going to share them with you.
Oh my God, even more fun.
Yeah.
This one I feel like definitely did not make it into an episode. I'm questioning if I could even air it here, but I'm going to play it for you guys.
I can't wait.
This is a gem from Ellie. Ooh.
There's plenty of banging in YA books.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for what I just said.
That's your season two button, Ellie.
I remember that now. I don't remember if it was in an episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I think I had a delay. What did she say? All I heard was us laughing.
I'm not doing this. I'm not.
There's a lot of bacon in YA books.
I said there's plenty of
bacon. Now I have to cut some of this for sure.
No.
Okay.
Put me out to pasture.
Here's a There's a couple of them that I just saved. Okay, this is a good one. This is just only a couple times of just us messing up intros, which I just think are funny to listen to.
Hey, I'm Anna Wilcoxon. I am the Diversity and Inclusion Librarian for... I quit forming words. Sorry. Okay, I could just...
Hello and welcome to The Book Drop, Omaha Public Library's podcast about books, our community, and the joy of reading. I'm Erin Dewar, the Readers and Writers Librarian. Oh my God.
Where? Who?
What? Yeah. It's been so long since I've flubbed this. What is my intro? My name is Erin Dewar. I'm the Readers and Writers Librarian, and I'm at the Benson branch.
Okay. Welcome. Yeah.
Sometimes our brains would just like snap and you're like, I have said this like 100 times and I literally don't know what comes next in this.
Yeah.
Okay. I think I have two more. This one, these next two are kind of chaotic and that's why I like them and I don't know what they're from. The first one I just called Cat. I can't even quite remember what it is.
Okay. Okay. Which one am I though?
You're the top one.
Okay, good.
So just read. Yeah,
can you tell me how I say that? M-I-E-T-T-E?
I think it's Miette.
Miette. Okay. Do I have an accent? So I'm a cat, right?
No, I'm a cat.
You're a cat. I'm a human.
This is already funny.
You can have any accent you want.
No, I'm a cat.
No. Who's the cat? Ow. What is that from?
It's a Patricia Lockwood tweet.
Okay, okay.
About her,
David, give it to
you
us.
You kick me at?
Yeah.
You kick me at like the football.
That's right. Thank you. Yeah. Okay, here's my last one. I just titled it Most Chaotic Clip that I, like, oh, that's, God. And now I listened to it multiple times because I thought it was so funny, but now I actually can't remember the context, so here you go.
And a lot of us have probably heard about a certain senator who had a book deal with Simon and Schuster. Am I saying that right? Schuster? It feels wrong. Schuster?
I say Schuster, but now you're making me question it.
I was just thinking, I don't think I've ever said that out loud. I've only ever read it.
Well, it's like when I finally listened to one audiobook and found out that it's Hachet and not Hatchet. It's Hachette.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Terry?
What? No, wait, sorry. That's Pratchett.
Like
the Gary Paulson.
No, the publisher. What?
What?
What? How did you say it?
Or Hachette. That's what it is. Yes, but I thought Hachette, it was Hatchet for a long time.
That Knopf, they're all very confusing.
Well, so what do you think? What do you, is it Schuster? Schuster?
I think it's Schuster.
Schuster.
I think it's Schuster.
Schuster. I love that we eventually got back to Schuster, but wow, I listened to it a couple times because I was like, this just keeps going. It was wild.
I love that I still had no chill. I was like, I gotta correct myself. I already know I'm wrong.
I mean, Ellie being like Terry Pratchett, like,
like the Gary Paulson book? Hatchet? Is that the boy?
Ooh, it's the best. So, oh my gosh. So those are my favorite bloopers that I could find just randomly saved on my hard drive.
Nice. Those are great. Thank you.
Those are really great bloopers.
We have so much to be proud of, you know?
Yeah. Real professionals.
Many errors.
It's amazing. There was an episode. There's 158 of these.
Okay, my friends. Is there anything we want to talk about before we do our last query and we do sign-offs?
Well, I've read some really good books lately. So I'm like, man, who am I going to talk about? Tell us.
Just rapid fire them.
Yeah. Listeners, read these books. Martyr by Kaveh Akbar. So good. James by Percival Everett. Drive Your Plow Over the Bones of the Dead by Olga Tokarczuk. And then I just started the new Hanifa Duraki book called There's Always This Year, and it's going to be brilliant. Elliot, there's a new Akweke Emezi book coming out soon. Little Ra. I'm so excited. Mm-hmm. So I just feel like there are many good books coming out right now that like are super exciting. So
yeah. I think other people are about to join a Mezzy Hive with me, with us, because it's getting a lot of like pre-pub pushes. Okay, my turn, because I jumped the line. I just read Headshot, which is about a national girls boxing competition, finalist competition. It's by Rita Bullwinkle. And it's just like, it's the kind of book that just like really grabs you, really understands like teen girls. It's an adult book, so it's not a young adult book. It's it's very concise, very sharp, a little bit harsh. And then the other one that I'm reading right now, thank goodness for the book drop and my fellow staff recommending things, is Shakespeare Was a Woman and Other Hearsays by Elizabeth Winkler. Ooh. And this is one that Erin, I'm sure, talked about on the show, but I found out about it from our weekly staff book discussion. And yeah, it is also making me a little bit sad, but it's like really informational, huge. You know, I'm gonna write my pals at Old School Shakespeare Omaha and be like, actually, I think you should rename it.
Yeah, when can we have a book club? Because I talked about this to everybody, Ellie, being like, I'm sorry, you guys are gonna think I'm crazy, but
it's so good.
This is where I'm at now with Shakespeare.
Shakespeare is fake.
It's, Shakespeare to me is not that guy.
Yep.
It's somebody else.
Nope. It's the guest who question mark.
Yeah. Please read this book and don't judge me until you do.
It's so good.
Anybody else? I also love how both of you, Anna especially, was like, I'm going to claim my time to talk about the last bit of books.
Really?
Yeah.
I want people to read them.
Yeah. Good.
Genius. Yes. Okay. A thriller that I absolutely loved recently, good suspense, was The Mystery Writer by Solari Gentile. She wrote The Woman in the Library, and this is her sophomore book, and it is just as deliciously twisty and unexpected in a great way. And then for nonfiction, I finished A Fever in the Heartland, The Ku Klux Klan's Plot to Take Over America and the Woman Who Stopped Them by Timothy Egan. You know, very sobering, but again, one of those things that's like important to read and know about in our history. And then a poetry collection that I finished, another print book that I finished this year, Harvest by Elodie Partheni. It's one of those books that like has the fruit on the cover with the flower, and I was just like, what are you, poetry book? Come to me. And it was delightful, and I took a lot of pictures of the page with my phone, not screenshots. I don't know what you would call that, just a picture. because it's a real book. I don't know what to do with real books sometimes. So I have some of the poems saved on my phone in that format. Thank you.
Amazing.
All right. I said on my very last episode as a regular host that I was going to get better at finishing series, and I have. I am currently finishing up the Three Births of Daedalus trilogy by Ramsey Campbell. That is Born to the Dark, The Searching Dead, and The Way of the Worm. Just started The Way of the Worm today. And yeah, it's really cool, kind of like cosmic horror, only it's over the course of the main character's entire life. So like, at the beginning, he's like a little kid. Then the next one is when he's an adult. And this last one that I'm starting is when he's old. And yeah, it's just really cool and atmospheric. And Ramsey Campbell is probably the best cosmic horror writer there is. Sorry, H.P. Lovecraft, but you used too many adjectives that just meant undescribable. still enjoy your work. Even though you've been dead a long time. And then after that, I'm going to start the last book of another trilogy, which is The Last Argument of Kings by Joe Abercrombie, which is the last book of the First Law trilogy. So yeah, I'm reading series. And
okay. We have a lot of queries because we had a good number, but then I also asked our fellow coworkers to give us some answers, because this question, I wanted to go back and take our very first query, but I think it was very specific to the pandemic and would not fit now. So I looked at the queries that we did at the very beginning, and this was like episode 234 or something. And the question is, what is bringing you joy right now? So Anna, what is bringing you joy right now?
I mean, these things are probably things anyone that's listened to the podcast for a little while can go. So my dog always makes me happy, always. I like to focus on her to get me back to reality check. The weather that's changing gives me life again. I can clawing out of my seasonal depression. And so related to that, like the plants that I have indoors and outdoors, watching them all like come back to life. I love watching the buds on all the flowering trees coming in. It makes me so happy. And I have some vacations planned this spring, and I have not been anywhere for I feel like forever. So I'm so excited to do a little bit of traveling over the next couple months.
Amazing. Michelle.
Yeah. Okay. Can I share actually one of the pictures I just realized from one of the poems from mm-hmm. Harvest? It's called, or it doesn't have a title, but anyways, joy as a practice, joy as a commitment, joy as a revolutionary act, joy as a beacon, joy as a natural resource to share and to build a house around. I literally love that. And here we are talking about joy. I didn't even realize. What's bringing me joy, again, like with Anna, it's fairly obvious, is my silly, kind-hearted little McKinnon, who is also about to turn 4, like this podcast.
Oh my God, we're the same age.
Right. Yeah. So, and like having to share just like one final little anecdote about this little human and the way that he has grown. Unfortunately, some trees in our neighborhood had to be chopped down. And so one time we drove by and I was like, yep, they're gone. He's like, oh. And then one time when we came home and we were driving back in, he was like, oh, they didn't grow back. And oh, I was like, yeah. And he was like, buddy. Oh, that's really sad for the trees.
What a sweet pea.
I was just like, So joy is that way of like joy is a complicated emotion in some ways, whereas like it's that mixture of sadness and happiness because of like we get to do this thing. And so being able to spend time with him is really joyful. And one thing is also that I don't have a reading deadline right now, that like there's no looming. Like you have to have read this type of book by a certain time so that I can adequately talk about it or something. So usually, again, I was choosing books that I wanted to read, but I still had to read them within a certain time frame. And so it's a nice freeing thing. In looking at the silver lining of all of this. So,
yeah, I mean, it's all the same stuff. It's the sunshine. My favorite spring flower is creeping phlox, and that's all bloomed like today. So that's lovely. The lilac's gonna come in soon, and that is what I really care about. I like to like walk around and count how many lilac trees I can find in my neighborhood. I'm back on the reading train. I had to watch movies for all my fiction last year because I was so dang busy, but books are back. And just being here recording this with you guys, that's bringing me joy.
David.
All right. I realized recently, like, my bandmates and I, that we have enough songs to record a full-length album. So, like, knowing that we're going to do that and we're going to put that out is bringing me a good amount of joy. This is going to start as a sad story, but get more joyful as I keep going. In March, my 18-year-old cat, Gladys, who had been with me through a lot of, like, really hard times, finally passed away. And then just to see just the general outpouring of love that people gave me because of that was pretty amazing and affirming. And now I can kind of look back and remember her as she was rather than like that last day. And that's been really good. The other day I went to take Bobby the dog for a walk and she scratched at my knee, like lightly, like it was the door and she wanted out. She did a little vocalization. And that was just like the most adorable thing ever. It's really like coming back for one last episode like this with all of you is really, really been great. That's been a lot of, been giving me a lot of joy. And then my friend Steve Smith and I, who's from both my bands, including the one you hear at the beginning and end of this podcast, are going to start our own podcast where we listen to a record off mic and then talk about it. And it's just going to be a lot of fun. If any of you ever really miss podcasting and want to come on, just ask me. And I can't promise you the songs won't squelch and burble. They probably will, in fact, but you have the option. And yeah, that's where I am right now.
Cool. I guess no surprise. The day this drops, there's a new Taylor Swift album, Happy Day to All Who Celebrate. So I hope it's brutal and I hope it rips us all to shreds. I'm very excited. But also, you know, all of you bring me joy. Messages we've been getting from listeners, coworkers, mm-hmm. just all of that. So yeah, that's me. Okay, I got us a long list of things that are bringing people joy. So Anna, kick us off.
All right. So Chelsea says, the sunshine, warmer temperatures, grass becoming green, and flower buds starting. Laura says, MCC's open pottery studio. Katya says, peanut butter cookies dipped in chocolate, baby snuggles, and the beautiful weather. Karen says, Trader Joe's apple cider vinegar soda, new running shoes, watching their kitten climb these horrible lace curtains on their sunroom door, the kind of weather where it's possible to bike to errands, the barbecue smells all over the neighborhood. And they also say, thank you for launching an awesome podcast, you guys.
Thanks, Karen.
Courtney says, crocheting to procrastinate doing my taxes. Ooh, good luck, Courtney. Megan the Stallion and grilled cheese sandwiches. Taylor says, starting yard work outside. Things are growing and need tended to. I love it. And Grace says, the little purple flowers blooming in the grass all around town. The kiddo that tried to prank me by sitting in my chair at Music and Movement this morning and going on vacation.
Get pranked, Grace. Yeah. That kid got you. Okay. Elizabeth said they started reading a new series and it's been a while since they've encountered main characters that they're actually a fan of, rooting for, and am emotionally attached to. It's made the experience that much more enjoyable. Elizabeth, drop the series. What are we doing here? Mark says, I'm so happy to finally have read this book, Day Spring by Anthony Oliveira. Wouldn't be a book drop without me trying to pronounce something. In hand, he's grateful to one of our collection development staff, Angela, for ordering it, and all the folks who've listened to him rave about it. It's beautiful, heartbreaking, evocative, and so filled with a love and understanding of the texts it's remixing and expanding that he wouldn't want to square off with the author in a theology match if that was a thing. Mark, mm-hmm. we would all like to watch that happen. Yeah. So let's get it on the books. And Beth says, I am grateful for the gift of amazing work partnerships.
All right. Colby says, Tom Waits' ridiculous voice. I'm going to have to disagree with you, Colby. It's Tom Waits' awesome voice. Durette says, last weekend with the Fall Out Boy Jimmy Eat World show, and this weekend, they're finally getting a tattoo with their friend. And Nicole says, getting up early and watching the sunrise. Jessica says, the smell of fresh cut grass, dreams of upcoming vacations, and a new Peter Swanson book dropping in June. Mm-hmm. And Justina says, my nephew's first steps mere days before his first birthday. Oh, and the beautiful new floral with palms book drop decor created by our coworker Claire, who has also brought much joy to my day.
And then because I asked staff to tell us what was bringing them joy, a couple of them said specific nice things about all of you. And so I try not to be like navel-gazy, but that's like this whole episode. So I'm just going to share them because they're nice and I appreciate it that they said things to us. So Nicole said, thank you, Aaron, Anna, Michelle, Ellie, and David for the time, energy, and love you've poured into the podcast the last few years. Angela says, you bring me joy. I'm so grateful for the beautiful podcast that made me five friends before I started working here. You're even more fun, brilliant, talented, and lovely in person. Thank you so much again and again for your work, your thoughts, your light, and your brilliance. Angela, stop it. And then Aura said, having too many books to read in all caps, and it's all your fault. I honestly appreciate it. I found some really great suggestions from the book drop. So thank you, fellow coworkers and book people. Okay, it's like time to wrap this up. So I don't know, take 30 seconds, everybody, to if you want to do any final send-off or thank yous or anything. So, Anna, I'm going to make you go first again.
Yeah, because I'm starting to cry, so this is perfect timing. I want to thank you guys, really. I'm so grateful to have such like thoughtful, interesting coworkers. I didn't really know any of you. I mean, I knew who you were, but I didn't know you, you know, before we started doing this. So it's been really a delight to grow together and bond over these last few years. And I'm really proud of us. I know we all worked really hard on this and spent a lot of our time and energy. So I really appreciate you guys. And also I really appreciate our listeners. I can't believe so many people listened to this podcast. It blew my mind. So I'm like, thank you a million times over for that. I really like, it's remarkable to me. And I still kind of can't believe that we have listeners all over the dang world. It's crazy. So thank you for spending your precious time with us. So it's really, it means a lot.
Mm-hmm. Michelle?
I can't top that. That's exactly what I, yeah. Thank you all for embracing me and guiding me. Like I said, I learned so much from all of you on what there is out there to read, how we talk about it, how we engage. I think it's in general just made me a better librarian and human. And again, thank you to everybody that's ever listened, that's ever mentioned it to a friend and said, hey, did you know the library has a podcast? Or even again, to our listeners that aren't local, that are also sharing about us, about this little podcast that could. And again, thank you, Erin, for doing all of that behind the scenes work that kept us going for these 4 years.
Erin's the podcast hero. Yeah. She'll never admit it, but it's true.
Yep.
Ellie.
Yeah. Thank you to our listeners. We did it all for you. Thank you to Erin for making this happen, both like in its origin and literally every week. That's my thank yous. Thank you to Dundee Book Co. for always running literary pub quiz, for which I'm pulling my favorite sign off. This one lost me the last version of the Dundee pub quiz, so I'm never going to forget it. Garrison Keller always ended his podcast, The Writer's Almanac, with the quote, be well, do good work, and keep in touch. And that's what I hope for from you guys and from our listeners.
That's so nice. But not to be that person. Is it Keller or Keeler or Kyler?
Okay. Garrison Keeler.
That's it.
Keeler.
Podcast over. Goodbye.
I think it's Keeler.
No, it's not over. It's not over.
Michelle, we're running out of time. Stop. David, do you want to say anything else?
Oh, yeah. I'll say what I said earlier. Just thank you to everyone who has been on the podcast as guests. Ruby for being involved early on, even though you didn't stay on as a regular host, just in the early phases of planning. Thanks for all the guests we've had. Mark Sorensen, Jeff, Amy Winslow, Amy Mather, Jake. Yeah, we've had a ton of great guests, both library employees and other ones. And thank all of you for taking the time to appear on this. Thank you to all of you for creating something so awesome and taking a chance on having me as a host, you know, the weird guy who always overshares. Thank you for all the book recommendations and for just helping me grow as a book talker and as just as a person. The average lifespan of a podcast is about 6 months.
We did it.
We lasted 4 years.
It's amazing. Mm-hmm. So good. Cool. Just ditto to everything you guys said. I'm really proud. I don't use the word proud very often. I don't like people to look at me generally. So like, but I am really proud that we made something that lasted this long, like during a really difficult time. And I know that this show brought us and other people comfort like during that time and still. So thank you to all the listeners who found us and kept listening, and to my mom, who I feel like is probably one of our like most faithful listeners. So thanks, Mom. Yeah, I think that's it. Okay. One last time from us. So every last book resource thing that we mentioned will be put in a list, and we'll link to it in our episode description. So if you miss anything that we talked about, Anna has a big job to put that all in a list for you. So this is us signing off as your host of the Book Drop. The show will be taking a break for the next few weeks, and then the new team of hosts will get settled and be back in mid-May. So you can still reach out to us and the new podcast team at the Book Drop at omahalibrary.org. And that is our episode. Thanks for joining us on the Book Drop.
The Book Drop is produced by Omaha Public Library. Our theme music is Trapped in Amber, courtesy of the band Lucid Fugue. Don't forget to subscribe to The Book Drop on your favorite podcast app, and like and follow Omaha Public Library on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We'll talk to you next time on The Book Drop.